Rain of Troy Hotline.
Alicia, Michael, what's going on?
We know you have takes. We have takes.
I'm actually surprised that your rant line, rave line, whatever, isn't completely full.
Why can't we just win a game?
Can I blame Michael Castillo for this?
Can I blame Bob Connolly for this?
Could I put on a zebra shirt and just go out there?
Scratch, claw, up against the wall.
Can't explain that what I'm feeling right now, guys.
Let's open up that rave line. Woohoo!
Oh, I can't believe USC is going to do the same thing again, year after year. Oh, no!
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Rain of Troy Radio. And while this is episode 404, I'll tell you what's not an error. USC in the NCAA tournament. The Trojans are number 6 seed. They'll be playing on Saturday. We're going to talk about that and so much more here on this episode. As always, you can follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Overcast, Google Play. Wherever you can find a podcast, we are there. Our bonus episodes over on Patreon, patreon.com/reignoftroy. Our email address is reignoftroy@fanteta.com, and our phone number is 213-373-1USC.
Suck it, what's brewing show.
I'm your host, Mike Garcia. Join along with my co-host here in the Rain of Troy studio in Los Angeles, Alicia Deratola.
Hello, everybody.
Hello, Alicia. It is March Madness time. We talked about this last week. It was brewing. We're doing some Rot Madness stuff over on Patreon. This week, we're going to talk about running backs and wide receivers. Do a little bracket and see who can come to the top of the Trojan bracket there. We did one last week. Over on Patreon of quarterbacks, which was super fun. We got to a debate and
it was contentious.
Very contentious. You guys should go over and listen to it. Patreon.com/RainofTroy. We can get all of our bonus episodes for little as $5.55 a month. But in the spirit of March, and you know, we're recording this on the 17th, which is the day you have to wear green. I think we have to tell people neither you or I are wearing green.
Well, we're kind of in like a nuclear Cold War standoff, because if you were to try and pinch me, then I would be within my rights to pinch you, and I'm not going to pinch you for fear that you will then come pinch me. So, yeah, that's I think it's working for us.
That's fair. That's fair. By the way, I hate the stupid wear green thing. Like if you don't wear green, like you're like a terrible human being. Like really,
you would not have liked growing up in my family, because
to wear green?
If you didn't plan the night before to sleep in green, then you were probably gonna get some pinch action happening.
It's so lame. It's lame.
I mean, it's not my
green beer. I think is lame.
I'm down for my favorite thing that my family did when we were growing up is that the leprechauns would come overnight and dye the milk green.
That sounds awful. It really sounds awful.
It was pretty funny, you know, because like the first thing I use the milk for is not necessarily like cereal. It's usually like coffee. So you'd get some strange looking coffee, but it still tasted fine. It's sort of a tradition.
Yeah, not a fan of things that are.
And
green,
then we'd have
exception of broccoli.
We'd have green eggs and ham.
Horrendous. Did you have corned beef and hash too?
Actually, yes. And actually, I do like corned beef. Although, so here's a problem that I have. St. Patrick's Day, I have the pub that I go to watch Liverpool. I have ended up in that pub several St. Patrick's Day because for random sort of coincidence, Liverpool often played on that day. And so I would sort of end up hanging out at the pub with my brother who loves St. Patrick's Day. And so we'd always just be there and, you know, I would order the corned beef and cabbage, and I discovered that I quite like corned beef.
Yeah, corned beef and cabbage. Why did I say hash? I don't know.
I think you can do it with hash too, but like.
Yeah, it's cabbage.
Yeah, it's yeah. Corned beef and cabbage. And so I'd order it and I was like, oh, like I actually really like the corned beef. But like 2 years in a row, I came home from St. Patrick's Day at the pub and like had terrible migraines and stuff like that. Now, those migraines could have either been
God punishing you for eating such a disgusting food.
The corned beef, which I know it has like some, I don't know if it's nitrates or other sort of stuff that's in it, but it has been known to occasionally cause that kind of reaction for people. Or it could be the copious number of breakfast shots. One or the other, usually Jameson involved. But yeah, so I have like, I have an association with St. Patrick's Day and like terrible migraines because the next day, it's not like a hangover, it's like migraine.
I'd have a headache too if I had a thing about eating green things and cuts of meat like corned beef, which in fact leads me to the thought that I don't like cuts, period. That's why Rantroy Radio is brought to you by Manscaped, where you get no cuts, no nicks with the Lawnmower 3.0 from Manscaped. Go to manscaped.com, use the promo code FANSIDE20, get 20% off your order and free shipping. Go there and you can get the crop preserver. You got to preserve your crops.
Is it too soon to make an Irish potato famine joke? Or have we reached the threshold upon which crops like that could be overlooked?
The Stanford band got banned by going there. They got cut out of everything.
Okay.
And got nicked from the halftime show. Well, and you don't want cuts and you don't want nicks.
No, but see, this is the thing is that some... Cuts, there are good cuts and there are bad cuts. Cold cuts, those are good. Cutting the Stanford band out of your life, those are good. But the kind of cuts that are bad, those are the ones that you eliminate entirely by using the Lawnmower 3.0. So I am in favor of cold cuts and cutting the Stanford band out, but I am very anti the nicks and cuts that happen in just the course right. of life if you aren't outfitted with the right kind of equipment.
Yeah, and it's like good cuts, Reggie Bush cutting yes. through to the field.
Yes.
Good nicks, Nick Young, Nick Rakosevic.
Yes. But there are bad ones but as there well. There are bad nicks and there are bad cuts.
You go to manscaped.com, use promo code FANSIDED20 and get 20% off your order and free shipping, which means it's time for us to actually make a cut. And cut to the news. Alicia, let's get to the news here. Let's start with some football. How about NFL free agency? It is that time of year. It feels like it comes around super often, and here it is yet again. By the way, NFL free agency, how would you compare to NBA and MLB free agency? And NHL free agency.
I pay more attention to NFL free agency. So
I feel like the NBA free agency is so massive because the players are so overwhelmingly overvalued than anything else.
Yeah.
And that like takes the zeitgeist of sports and everything. Everything is revolves around that.
Yeah.
NFL free agency seems so weird because like so many big names change teams, and I feel like it doesn't have it doesn't reverberate the same way that other sports
it
does.
Doesn't change the landscape of the league the way that NBA free right, agency exactly. every year it's like okay how is the landscape of the league going to change. NFL right. free agency is more subtle. I think it's more team based just because of the way that the contracts and everything like that work out. So yeah, it's a totally different experience, but I find it very interesting because it's more strategic than just like, well, who's going to make the huge move? There's a lot more little like critical moves that are that fly under the radar, I think.
Yeah, and those are the moves I make in Madden.
Well, when
these teams trying to make those as good of moves.
When you manipulate the trade logic and
I
all
would
of
not
that.
Do such a thing. Never. I would not do such a thing. No. But speaking of teams manipulating their salary cap and their roster, how about... Adoree Jackson getting released by the Titans. I would not have thought this. He is due a big paycheck. Certainly part of it, but this is a guy, as a comment that I saw on Twitter. The dude's like an 85 in Madden and you're releasing him?
Yeah, and not just that, but like in metrics that you can track, I mean, Pro Football Focus is a fan of Adoree Jackson in terms of he ranks in like, you know, the among the better cornerbacks that are out there in the league. So it's a little bit weird, but so much of NFL free agency is the number tweaking that you have to do, the roster and salary cap manipulation. And from what I understand, Adoree Jackson had like $10 million guaranteed dollars for this year that was going to be owed to him if he was still on the roster by Tuesday or Wednesday. And so when they made the cut, it was just about scrapping that money. And so there's a lot of cuts that happen that are just purely you need to get your salary cap under control or get your money in under control. And so sometimes you cut a good player. Sometimes you cut a starter because you're trying to do something else. Now,
Titans not using Manscaped.
The Titans are not. No, they're nicking themselves left and right. But you know, hopefully Adore Jackson can find a new home and a new situation that'll benefit him. I mean, that's the sucky thing for Adore Jackson is he gets cut and now he has to, you know, figure out where he's going to live, settle into a new team, all that kind of stuff. But it's also a new opportunity for him. He gets to go into the open market as a free agent and, you know, find his way. So should be interesting to watch where he goes.
Yeah, it will be fun to watch. Adoree, along with Juju Smith-Schuster, two guys headlining a group of available free agents for Trojans. There's also Nickell Roby Coleman, Jordan Simmons, Jarrell Casey, Everson Griffin, Matt Barkley, all those guys still looking for homes. People who have gotten new homes, Nelson Aguilar with the Patriots. Heading to New England after a stint with the Raiders in which he kind of revitalized his career a little bit?
Well, he proved that the passing game situation in Philadelphia was less than ideal and it was not set up for receivers to succeed. And, you know, that became very clear as Nelson Aguilar had more, you know, receptions or receiving touchdowns or whatever metric it was than the entire Eagles receiving core this past season. And it's not like Nelson Aguilar had particularly prolific numbers. He just had a decent season. So something has been very wrong in Philadelphia since they won the Super Bowl. So that is something that we've definitely confirmed over the past year or so as far as Nelson is concerned. So looking forward to seeing him go with the Patriots and give Cam Newton or whoever they settle on as their quarterback a new option. I believe Marquise Lee is still on that roster as well.
Yep.
So should be exciting to see those two guys rolling together if Marquise can get his body right. But you know, it's good to see Nelson took that 1 year that he had with Vegas and made the most of it and got himself paid as a result.
Yeah, for sure. Other guys getting themselves paid. Leonard Williams re-signing with the Giants and Zach Banner re-signing with the Steelers. Leonard Williams, huge numbers, huge contract. I thought this was interesting because I don't watch the NFL that closely. So I'm fully admitting I'm a novice in talking about the NFL at a critical level, right? So much of my NFL intake is just what I see on Twitter. And I know that's not a good view of the league, not a good view of anything. It's a lot of narratives and whatnot. And I felt like Leonard Williams was a player who was really criticized by, like, Giants Twitter. And for him to be not only, you know, a guy who gets over $60 million, but someone who is the number two free agent in the CBS Sports ranking of all the free agents, that's huge. That's huge for SC. It's huge.
Well, I mean, he had 11.5 sacks in 2020. He had 14 tackles for loss, 30 QB hits. He was doing more of the flashy things that I think he got criticized in New York with the Jets. He's still in New York with the Giants.
He's in New Jersey.
But he's in New Jersey. Or he was in New Jersey or is in New Jersey.
They're both
in New Jersey. Whatever it is. When he was with the Jets, a lot of the criticism was he wasn't doing the stat kind of stuff. He was sort of just as a secondary guy, more in a support role. And that's not the Leonard Williams that we certainly got to know at USC. So he comes to the Giants and this past year, he put up more of those numbers that you want to see, the pass rushing numbers, the sort of big cat kind of numbers. So yeah, he forced the Giants' hand. He forced them to pay him and good on him. And hopefully he's able to continue this surge of success. You don't want it to be a contract year kind of situation that he had in 2020, but he's now set up to go ahead and continue on with the Giants and hopefully build on that. So
for sure, greatest defensive lineman in USC football history.
Won't argue.
Yeah, let's talk about Zach Banner re-upping with the Steelers. This is an interesting one because he gets drafted in 2017, a fourth rounder to the Colts. The Colts get rid of him really quickly, really quickly. And Banner bounces around, eventually goes to the Steelers. He becomes a little bit of a fan favorite as a guy who goes in and is an extra tackle, and he's eligible in the passing game and all that stuff, eligible receiver. And then he wins the starting job out of camp last year at right tackle, tears his ACL in week one, misses all of his season in a year in which he has an expiring contract, and yet he turns right around and inks a deal with the Steelers worth up to like $9 million. So more power to him. I think it was $3.25 million signing bonus.
Yeah, I mean, it shows the, you know, sometimes you just sort of read into these contracts and they show the what confidence that a team has in a player. And you're right, he didn't get the opportunity to earn himself a new contract this past season because of his injury. It says something about the loyalty that the Steelers feel towards him, that they come back and give him a new deal and that they're willing to sort of see what he's got.
Yeah.
They must have liked him enough coming out of that training camp to think, you know what? No, he is worth investing in. So his big challenge will obviously be getting his body right, coming off of a knee injury like that. It's always, you know, it takes a little while to get back into form. So he's going to have to find his feet over this offseason, and hopefully he's able to hit the ground running for this next season because there is a starting job there available if he's able to go and grab it.
Yeah, and Yins know if there's any franchise that's loyal, it's the Steelers.
Yes.
So we'll see if the same rings true for Juju Smith-Schuster. As of recording, he's still a free agent.
And the murmurs on Juju are all that he won't be coming back to the Steelers. So
ignore what I said about
the... So, I mean, well, no, the Steelers are a very loyal franchise, but I think the issue is that Juju's going to command more money than they want to pay. And it sort of makes sense because he hasn't really been a number one receiver for them, and he's going to be able to go out on the open market and command, you know, number one, number two kind of money. So it is almost a Juju. If he was less good, it would be easier for them to bring him back. If he was more good, it would be easier for them to bring him back. Right. But he's sort of in that in-between where no one's quite sure, can he be a number one receiver or is he just a slot guy? Now, slot guys have value, but maybe not in the same way to the Steelers.
Yeah, it also doesn't help that these last 2 years haven't been as productive as year two was.
It didn't help that Ben Roethlisberger wasn't the one throwing him the ball
100%.
In 2019. And you saw his numbers rebound in 2020. So I have a lot of hope for Juju to be able to put up good numbers for the rest of his career. He needs to land in the right spot. And like, you know, they're talking about, you know, he's going to potentially go to the Jets or whatever. Like, the only good reason for him going to the Jets would be if he's able to help revive Sam Darnold's career. But that's the last thing in the world I want.
Yins don't want to see that, for sure.
No.
But that'll wrap it up for football. Let's go over and talk about basketball. The Trojans are back in the NCAA tournament. They're the number 6 seed in the West region. They are going to face in the round of 64 on Saturday the winner of a first four matchup between Wichita State and Drake. Drake, what's their name?
Drake Jackson, Drake London.
I'll let it slide. How about Wichita State?
Shockers, baby.
How do you know that?
Everyone knows the Shockers.
I'm leading you. I'm throwing you a bone to talk about Ted Lasso, and you're not
okay. So
it.
I was gonna do the Ted Lasso thing, but I knew Wichita State before, so I gotta say it was very fitting that Ted Lasso used Wichita State, who I don't even know if they have a football program, but
I don't believe they do.
But either way, like, Wichita State was the perfect, like, believable, like, Ted Lasso would bring that team to a national title. Wichita State being the sort of lovable underdog kind of. Shockers.
Yeah, and SC now gets to play either the Shockers from Wichita State or Drake from Iowa, who probably has a lot of people who shock wheat over there in Iowa, too, I would think.
Sure. You run with that one.
Sure. The if they win, they could potentially get the winner of the Kansas Eastern Washington game. Sweet 16 matchups could be against teams like Oregon, VCU, Iowa, and that fake college in Phoenix, Grand Canyon University.
GCU?
Yeah.
VCU, GCU, Oregon, Iowa.
GCU, or as I like to call, fake TCU West.
Okay, so this is a really interesting bracket that USC is in. It is simultaneously very difficult and simultaneously, like, weirdly set up for USC to go on a Sweet 16 or Elite Eight run.
Yeah, you mentioned difficult because if they get to the Elite Eight, it's Gonzaga they're probably going to have to face.
Right. And, like, I wrote about this on Rant of Troy this past week, that there are a lot of analysts out there who are picking USC as a Final Four dark horse, and they're basing that almost entirely on Evan Mobley. And I think that's fair. USC, in 90% of the games that they will play in this bracket, will have the best player on the floor. The only they'll certainly have the most talented player on the floor. And if they get to face Iowa, Luke Garza is a better player than Evan Mobley at this point. He's a senior. He is, you know, Evan Mobley 4 years from now. So that would certainly be a very difficult matchup. But USC's problem is they don't have really strong guard play, or at least really consistent guard play, and you need that in the tournament. They have veteran presence in Taj Eady and a lot of the other transfers that USC has, but it's sort of a weird imbalance. And there's also the distrust that I think anyone who's watched USC basketball over the years has in sort of in this team, where you don't trust them to make their free throws, and those are things that are critical in the tournament. You don't trust them to put a team away. You don't trust them to not fall behind early. There's a lack of trust that I have in the Trojans in general when it comes to basketball. But given their ceiling, given their potential, they could walk through this. You know, Wichita State or Drake, those are decent teams who will challenge USC, but USC should be able to get by them. They're, you know, an 11-6 matchup, you should get by them. Kansas is really vulnerable right now. Now, there's a lot of people on, like you see on Twitter and online, talking about how Kansas is, this is like one of the worst Kansas teams that people have seen. They got really hot at the end of the season. They won, I think it was 8 of their last 9. But then COVID hit, and they had to step out of the Big 12 tournament, and they're going to have, like, their team piecemeal come back together. Like, their leading scorer is coming back on Friday, and then their third leading scorer and top rebounder is going to come back on Monday or Tuesday, and that might be just in time for the round of 32 matchup if USC or whoever gets, if they are able to get by Eastern Washington on Saturday without an upset, then they'll sort of get one guy back, and then they'll get another guy back later on. So they're, like, in a total state of uncertainty because they won't have their entire roster there. The guys that are coming back are going to have to be reintegrated after a couple weeks where they haven't been playing. And so there's some vulnerability there with Kansas. If you wanted to face a number 3 seed Kansas team at any point in the last few years, like, this is probably the one you'd want to face. But then again, we're talking a Bill Self team. I trust him way more than I trust Andy Enfield. So will they be able to put it together?
You gotta trust yourself, yeah.
Well, yes, you do have to trust yourself. But is Evan Mobley going to be able to take over and dominate? Is Taj Eady going to be able to provide the scoring that USC needs from start to finish? Is Ethan Anderson going to avoid those devastating sort of turnover, you know, 5-minute periods where he's just an absolute liability? All of those things are questions that I have for this team. But if they're able to put it together, they can get to the Sweet 16 and face Iowa. They can get there. And if it's Oregon, we know they've already beat Oregon. But if they get to Iowa, you know, then you sort of see where the dice rolls. And then right, if you get past Iowa and you're in the Elite Eight and you're facing Gonzaga, well, you know, talk about all the things that I don't trust in college basketball. Gonzaga is the number one program in college basketball I do not trust. I've spent way too many years... They have spent way too many years busting my bracket.
Is there any more team in sports, in all of sports, who is due more than Gonzaga?
Probably not.
Like not even the Toronto Maple Leafs, because the thing with the Leafs is that, you know, they've been bad for long stretches.
Yeah, no, Gonzaga has been good.
Gonzaga's been so, they've earned a title.
Yeah.
They just haven't done it.
They just are very unreliable. And so if there was going to be an upset, a number one upset going into the Final Four, I would not be shocked if Gonzaga was not in the Final Four. Now, do I think that USC will be the one that delivers that shock? I think it's probably doubtful, but there's a path here.
With a name like Wichita State in the mix?
I know. Go Shockers.
Who gives the shock here? Wichita State and Drake playing on Thursday, mind you, so keep an eye open for that. But the interesting thing here for me is that you look back at 2001, 20 years ago, which is insane to think about that it's 20 years ago. 20 years ago, SC goes in this tournament as a number six seed, as a team who did not win the Pac-12, did not win the Pac-12 tournament, the Pac-10 tournament at the time. And what do? They waltz through their first three games. Who did they beat in the Sweet 16? Kentucky. Well, if SC gets to the Elite Eight like they did in 2001, they'd have to go through Kansas in the round of 32, a blue blood who wears blue, literally.
Yeah, I mean, there's a UK. There. A UK, yeah. Okay,
Kansas
KU.
Technically is, do you ever know that? All of the Kansas is the University of Kansas. It's not Kansas University.
But they do go by KU,
yes,
don't they?
Yes, but the reason they go by KU goes back to an old marketing ploy that the Big Eight had, where the Big Eight, for some reason, called all of their teams letter U.
Oh.
So OU, CU, KU, NU, all of those Big Eight schools went by that.
With the U on the end. Interesting.
And so there was always a joke that Texas was TU because of that, even though they weren't in the Big Eight.
Yeah.
Because they were in the Southwest Conference.
Huh. Well, today I learned.
The more you know. So it's crazy. It's been 20 years. SC, a number six seed. They've been a number six seed before, back in 2008, I believe they were in a number six seed. They didn't get far. So it'll be interesting to see if USC can put it together as a six seed again. The entire tournament taking place in Indiana, which is going to be fascinating. Multiple venues in Indianapolis. I'm kind of surprised they haven't, like, I'm interested to see how this goes, because I think there's a world where this becomes the norm. Could you see it? Like, could you see if, like, a state hosted the entire tournament going forward? Like if this ends up being a massive success?
I could always see it happening, but I think it's more likely they'll go back to the old model, because I think that probably if I were the committee that's seeding these things, I do like the ability to
and
reward teams.
It's probably better that way too.
Yeah. You want attendance, and you're not really worrying about attendance this year, but you will worry about attendance in future years.
That's
fair. You want to reward teams by giving them the region, more local region for them. Travel then becomes a factor that they can use to weight, you know, teams up and down or whatever. So and then also just more venues in different areas.
It's about selling tickets.
I mean, that's exactly it. So, you know, I doubt that. Like Vegas or whatever other West.
But if the entire, can you imagine if the entire tournament was in Vegas?
That would be fun.
God knows they have enough arenas to do it. So it would be fascinating to see that all come together. The Trojans, Saturday afternoon against the winner of the Wichita State Drake game, USC, the 6 seed, those guys, the 11 seed. If they win that one, they'll play the winner of Kansas and Eastern Washington, the Jayhawks or the Eagles. The Eagles, right?
Either way, they're playing a bird.
If they win, yeah.
If they win. And I'm putting it out there. No one who has watched this USC team at any point will be surprised if they lose to Wichita State or Drake.
Well, that's the thing. Like, I've talked about this before on the pod. I'm not someone who watches a lot of USC basketball. Don't look to me to bestow wisdom upon you about this USC basketball team. Full disclosure about that. My gut is one of two things. SC immediately gets bounced out, or they go deep. Like, there's going to be no in-between.
It's like losing in the first round of Sweet 16. Like, the round of 32 is almost a... just bypass it. Which is weird, because that's where Kansas is.
They definitely beat Kansas.
I think if USC faces Kansas, part of me thinks, like, genuinely USC, I'll expect them to beat Kansas. Which is not fair, because, again, like, give me Bill Self over Andy Enfield any day.
But to me, and I know that I keep dwelling on the stupid things, but how ironic that SC could go through Wichita State and Kansas, or they could potentially go through Drake and then Iowa. You see the irony there?
Are you making a geography joke?
It's a geography reference.
Yeah. You know how bad my geography is, so...
I know, you're not good at geoguessing.
I will concede.
I was watching GeoGuessr tips videos. Mostly it's stuff that I already know, but it's things that I find, like, even nerdier that I haven't picked up. Like, okay, these kind of poles are only in Colombia. These poles are only in Peru. I'm like, well, I got to add this to my repertoire. Like, usually I know things like license plates and lines in the road, but poles. I didn't know how to add poles to my list of things.
If anyone who listens plays GeoGuessr, go find Michael on Twitter and, like, geek out with him, because it's his thing.
That's right.
I enjoy GeoGuessr, too. It's just I suck at it. So, like...
You gotta learn the tips.
Those
octagonal poles only in Mexico and Colombia.
I'll keep
yellow
that in
license
mind.
Plates. It's Colombia.
I will definitely keep all of those things.
Is there
in
a pack
mind.
On the Google car? It's Mongolia. Telling you. There's tips to the trade here, folks, over at GeoGuessr. But we want to see you guys over at Patreon. Patreon.com/RandomTroy. We get all of our bonus episodes. Again, it's Rot Madness. Last week, we talked about the 16 best USC quarterbacks, walked through a tournament, picked our winners, and eventually got to the mountaintop. Let us know what you think about that episode when you go listen to it after you join us over on Patreon. And then this week, we'll have two more over there for you, the wide receivers and the running backs. Look for those up probably Friday or so. So let's get to the mailbag, shall we?
You've got mail.
Let's start off with a Slack message from Fred. He says, with the NCAA tournament starting tomorrow/Friday, what is your go-to method of picking the bracket? Do you go chalk, mascots, colors, geography for our GeoGuessr friends?
I used to fill out two brackets. One would be a, you know, real bracket that I just pick, and the other would be like a mascot bracket. So like who would beat who in a mascot fight, or something random, you know, which colors do I like or that kind of stuff. This year I've gone mostly chalk. I've found that like picking upsets, it's not worth it. If there are upsets, then that'll happen, but like you break your bracket on your own if you mess up an upset, and then that, you know, that two seed goes on to the Elite Eight, like you're screwed, you're losing a lot of points. So I generally stick with chalk. I generally stick with teams that have really good players. So like this year I have Alabama going very far because I like Herbert Jones or Herbert Jackson, whatever his name is. Luke Garza, I really like from Iowa. Cade Cunningham from Oklahoma State. I have those teams advancing. Now, if I wasn't, you know, knee deep in USC, I might have USC going very far because of Evan Mobley, but I don't trust USC. So that is a whole other thing. But yeah, I tend to, you know, side with the best players, the guys who are all Americans and that. And go chalk generally, unless you have a really good reason to, like, if there's an injury situation or there's you know, uncertainty or a team that's really hot, that kind of thing. But yeah, that's how I choose.
Yeah, and if you go chalk against SC, that can mean Rock Chalk Jayhawk in the round of 32. I like to go chalk because they say chalk wins pools, right? But here's the thing about 2021. I don't think this is a normal basketball year.
No.
And so I was filling out this my bracket, and A, I feel like I've paid attention to college basketball less this year than any other year. And B, I don't try, like, I would normally just go pretty chalk and then pick, like, three upsets, maybe.
You always got to have a 12-5 upset.
Got to have a 12-5, and then you got to toy with the idea of a 13-4.
Yeah, and then you can't have all four ones going to the final four. I like to pick a two that I'm just going to ride, and go with that. Maybe there's a three or a four that you kind of like, but
even a four feels like you're reaching though.
Yeah,
but I like to go chalk mostly and just rely on rely on teams that have a good resume, teams that are underseeded. Like those
mm-hmm.
teams that have something to prove, not necessarily teams that have already. Sometimes a team that's already achieved something, it's easy to have a mindset that you get into the tournament and like Oregon this year,
Oregon's
a good team. I think
yeah.
Oregon's a good team. I wouldn't be surprised if they got bounced early, mentally having won the Pac-12 championship. Yeah. Obviously, the Pac-12 championship is not what they want in the long term.
Right.
I'm not saying that is, but I think that. It's easier to pick a team that I think is a little more hungry, but again, none of this stuff matters. It's all a coin flip at the end of the day, when you're picking your teams. Fred says, "Is it better to be a higher seed or a lower one, but placed into a perceived easier path to get through?" I have a strong opinion on this. I think that I don't think it's 1-16. I think there's seeds you'd rather be. Like, for instance, I'd rather be a 10 seed than an 8 or 9.
Yes.
Because the 8 or 9, you're going to get the number 1 seed right around the corner
yeah.
if you win your game. If you're the 10 seed facing the 7, that's almost an even matchup. It's almost the 7-8 coin flip.
Yeah.
It's almost an even matchup, 7-10. You're not going to be heavily... you're not going to really be... a true legitimate underdog. People are still going to pick you at a fair rate. But if you win, you go and you get the 3 seed. The 3 seed way more manageable than the 1 seed.
Yeah, I agree. I think in general it's better to be a higher seed though. Like in
sure,
general,
yeah.
The problem is once you get beyond sort of the 5 seeds, you know, certainly 6s, 7s, and yeah, once you're an 8, it doesn't, you know, then you're talking about where you are in a bracket. But like the difference between being a 6 and a 5 is big, and the difference between being a 4 and a 5 is big, and the difference between being a 3 and a 4 is big.
Right.
So yeah, I sort of get where you're coming from, where the way that the bracket sort of progresses, there are advantageous places to be. But in general, I think you want to be a higher seed. Because
yeah.
The teams that are lower seeded than you are lower seeded for a reason. That means they have flaws. That means
right.
There's something wrong with them.
The only time I'd want to be a lower seed would be being a 10 over like an 8.
Yeah.
Like that's really it.
Yeah.
I guess you can make the argument over being an 11 versus being an 8 or whatever, but it's being a 10 versus an 8 is what you'd want to have, if anything. But outside of that, it all comes down to luck because...
Or I'd be a 12. That 12-5, there's always a 12-5.
One's guaranteed to win, yeah. But the other thing is it comes down to luck after that because what's going to happen when you get to that next round? Is the other team going to... The other matchup, is it going to go chalk? Or are you going to end up in a situation you thought you had to play the 2 seed in the second round and all of a sudden you're playing the 15?
Yeah, or you think you're going to you spend all your week talking about Kansas, and then all of a sudden there's Eastern Washington turning up, and you're like, oh, okay,
yeah.
Now we're playing the 14 seed. So
yeah.
It really changes the picture.
Completely different, completely different. Samuel asks us a question. I'm going to change it. He says, does USC basketball make it past Kansas? I'm going to change this to you, Alicia. Why does USC basketball make it past Kansas? Give me the case. Besides Evan Mobley is good.
Well, Evan Mobley is very good. Evan Mobley and Isaiah Mobley are both very good. Kansas is coming off of a COVID situation where they have players, their best players, who are going to have to be shaking the rust off, who are coming back from multiple weeks of not playing. And like I said earlier, they're coming back in stages, so they're not going to get everybody back. Their top rebounder isn't going to be back at the earliest until the round of 32 game, if he's even cleared to play in that game. So those are, you know, those are big misses that, that Kansas is going to have, and they're just entirely unsettled. And so much of the NCAA tournament is momentum and is sort of feeling like you're ready to go. And even though USC lost to Colorado in the Pac-12 tournament, they still have a bit of the momentum that they had going into the end of the season. I think Kansas is vulnerable. And so that, that Kansas is vulnerable and USC has Evan Mobley. Like, that's a big factor. Because if you're going to take advantage of a vulnerable team, it helps to have the best player on the floor, which Evan Mobley will be. So that would be my pitch, is just the combination of those two factors. But there are other factors that I think, you know, swing the other way, that that, you know, USC can't be trusted to hit their free throws, and Kansas has Bill Self, and that, you know, he's won enough to earn that kind of respect from USC fans as far as what we're expecting from Kansas.
Yeah. Yes. A tweet from Johnny G. Where do you got USC basketball reaching in your brackets? Like I said, it's one or the other. I'm going to make two brackets. One of them I'm going to have SC losing in the first round. The other one I'm going to have SC going to the Elite Eight. How about you?
Okay, yeah. I have USC in the Sweet 16 losing to Iowa. And that is entirely because I think that Iowa is a more veteran team. Now, Iowa has some serious defensive deficiencies, and that is something that USC could definitely take advantage of. But they are a more veteran team. And as much as I love Evan Mobley, I think Luke Garza is the sort of kryptonite that USC doesn't want to face. I think it would behoove USC incredibly, not just from the normal, like, you don't want to face the two seed, but like, if Oregon were able to pull off an upset of Iowa, that would very much clear the way. Because Iowa's the team that I feel like USC definitely loses to, no matter what.
Right. Because so, you get to the Sweet 16 and you're like, geez, is this heaven? And like, no, yeah, it's Iowa.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
I got, yeah.
Okay.
I got
it. All right. Tweet from Jonathan. Who will be the highest drafted USC player in the 2022 NFL draft? I'm going to go on a little bit of a limb and just say Keaton Slovis.
I think it'll be Keaton Slovis. Now, Drake London is a possibility.
Also Drake Jackson.
Drake Jackson is a possibility. But Keaton Slovis being the quarterback, I just, it's just so much easier to
you
bet on the quarterback
NFL
here.
Teams like cream their pants, yes, over quarterback.
Yes. And that is just, you know, that's just the reality.
But edge rushers,
that Drake Jackson could be the guy.
So yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if he's up there.
The thing
Drake
I'm
London, I feel like, is going to go lower than you expect, just because there's so many wide receivers.
Yeah.
And wide receivers always end up going in the second round out of USC. Yeah. Always.
The thing about Drake Jackson, which 2021 will be very telling, right? Because this past season, I thought that he was a little bit more quiet than sort of expected. Now, he came into the season with an injury, and so I wonder how much that slowed him down. But I think Todd Orlando needs to answer whether or not this defense can allow Drake Jackson to shine, and that'll really be the determining factor on whether or not Drake is a, you know, top 15 pick or sort of a later first round pick. I think he will be a first round pick, but you know, Keaton could be a top 10 pick before all is said and done. I mean, they're talking about all these other quarterbacks that are just bleh that get talked about as, you know, top 10 picks. I don't see why Keaton wouldn't.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. The next question from Jonathan, who are your final four picks? Alicia, have you done a bracket yet?
I filled out a bracket for my family, and I wish I could pull it up on my phone, because I don't.
I've got mine.
Okay.
I'm going Gonzaga, Michigan, Baylor, and Houston. 3-1s and a 2.
So I definitely have Gonzaga, because I made the in this bracket my okay. My other strategy for filling out a bracket is don't think, just pick. Like, just go with your gut. And so that's what I did. And I made the fatal mistake of Gonzaga winning it all, because I'm an idiot. But so I have Gonzaga going through. I have Alabama going through in the Eastern region beating Michigan because I really like Alabama's defense. I got Illinois. No, I have Oklahoma State getting in through the Midwest because Cade Cunningham. And then I have Ohio State getting through from the South. So I've kind of gone all in on the two seeds with Ohio State and Alabama. And then from there, I have Ohio State beating Oklahoma State and Gonzaga beating Alabama and then Gonzaga beating Ohio State.
You mentioned Alabama in the East. I have them not making the Sweet 16.
I mean, it's entirely possible.
Alabama, not a basketball school.
They're not a basketball school, but like I've been doing a lot of writing on the .com about college basketball this year, so I have actually paid more attention. And like Herbert Jones from Alabama is legitimately like I just think he's that core figure on a team that drives you through the tournament. And I could be betting on the wrong guy, but I just am betting on him.
I feel like Alabama's USC, right? It's a perennially a team that underachieves, a team that always feels like a perpetual bubble team. And yeah, they have a star talent and they could go as far as they want to, but they're also Alabama. They're also USC. At any moment. But again, don't take anything I'm saying seriously. Please.
Oh no,
do not.
Yeah.
Do not. Let's go to a tweet we got from Johnny King. Will Keaton Slovis be able to throw a spiral this year? I think so. I think he'll be able to throw a spiral. Yeah.
I still don't have a very good explanation for what it was that caused
him
in 2020.
It was the wind in Tucson. Like, you know it. Come on.
And the rain in L.A. And I don't remember what else the other things were. Either way, I think that... the elbow injury probably was dogging him a little bit longer than USC wanted to admit. I think he's now fully removed from that. The shoulder that he's going to have to get over is going to be something that we're going to have to pay attention to as far as the spiral goes. But part of it might also just be confidence because he sure was throwing passes perfectly fine in the final couple of minutes of games. So, I have no explanation. Yes, the answer is yes.
All right. Next question. Last question. This comes from Sini's dad. Am I getting that right?
Knee's dad?
I'm going Sini's dad.
Okay.
When are the Trojans going to get a new staff?
Bold prediction that's not very bold. USC will be getting a new staff in 2022.
All right. You heard it here first. Mark your calendars. Then again,
or technically 2021, but
we've said this before.
Yeah.
We'll see how everything comes to be. That's going to wrap it up for us. Thanks for listening as always. Again, Saturday afternoon, USC, the number 6 seed, going up against the Wichita State Shockers or the Drake Bulldogs. We'll see what comes of it. See if the Trojans can get a win and face the winner of Kansas and Eastern Washington. So check that out. Check us out for more content over on Patreon, patreon.com/reignoftroy. And avoid nicks. Avoid cuts. Go to Manscaped. Manscaped.com. Use the promo code FANSIDED20. Get 20% off your first order and free shipping. That's right. Go there. Get the lawnmower 3.0. Get the crop preserver. Take care of yourself and your loved ones will agree.
Indeed.
Agree. Approve.
Approve?
Wait, your loved one. I mean, not going to judge.
Hey,
it could be loved one.
Don't yuck anybody's yum.
As long as it's fair as game and legal and all that stuff, you know.
Yes.
All right, we're just going to wrap it up.
Yeah.